welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our multi-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, here with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Susan, and hello to all our listeners out there on a rainy Wednesday. It's really great to be co-hosting with you again. We haven't seen you much since you moved out to Boone County.
Yes, the routes between Moingona and Story City aren't so convenient either. And I'll be moving back to Ames in a few days. But this is why I'm taking advantage of the time I have left to explore a little more of Boone County.
Well, where did you decide to go?
To Ogden. I realize that it's comparable in size to Slater in Cambridge and has all K-12 schools as well as a grocery store, newspaper, recently renovated library, senior center, several churches, and a restaurant that received the 2012 Iowa Pork Producers Award for Best Pork Tenderloin in Iowa. In other words, it has a lot of community anchors. When I started reading the Ogden Reporter, a weekly paper online, I discovered that Ogden is celebrating its sesquicentennial this year. The Ogden Fun Days 2016 is June 23rd and 25th. The theme is We Build This City.
Well, now, where did you start your exploration?
Well, I got the idea from a front page article in the Boone News Republican about Connie Rudy, an Ogden woman who has written a book about the history of Ogden businesses, inspired by wondering where her grandfather's doctor's office was. So I called her and asked her for an interview. That led to a beautiful drive last Saturday to her farm 6 miles south of Ogden, and it was really a back roads journey. We went south on Avenue L and went west to Avenue I, where we found her and her friend Daryl Peterson watching birds in her backyard. They had just seen a cardinal and an oriole, so Fritz and Daryl could sit outside and talk about birds while Connie and I talked about history at the kitchen table.
Well, maybe it's just as well I wasn't along this time.
Well, I realize it doesn't sound very exciting, although after we left, they emailed us that they had seen an indigo bunting, and they were thrilled with our link to the Ada Hayden website. So we felt like we had left a couple of kindred spirits. But the part that you will enjoy, I think, are the interview subjects for today. We will be talking about a famous old-time band director who had a weekly radio show in the 1930s. And we'll be talking about the Bill Riley Talent Show, which is part of the local festival, Ogden Fun Days.
So, how do we get started?
I'll begin with just a few minutes orientation with Connie Rudy, but I brought her book, and I think maybe our listeners would like to hear your critique of that. You were quite enthusiastic about it. She had studied the town businesses by poring over 140 years of the Ogden Reporter. So I thought she would be a good beginning point, but what do you want to say about this book?
Well, I think it represents a compendium of research and over a long period of time. And the great thing about it is it's going to have great local interest forever. She's carefully gone lot by lot and talked about what was going on and what was built and what existed there all the way back. And what a reference material for the people of Ogden. And it'll be valuable to them forever.
Well, yes. And it's an interesting organization because it's the 8 blocks of Main Street. So it's just the businesses. But she has pictures, old photographs, and I'm sure that just...
Yeah, the photos are wonderful, yeah.
Yeah. You were saying that you thought somebody would wish they had that for Story City.
Yeah, just very few towns will have that kind of deliberate research and something that lays out these downtown lots and traces their history. Very often in Story City, you'll talk with people and say, where was that store? You know, now we know in Ogden anyway.
Okay, well, let's hear what Connie has to say about the development of Ogden.
The thing that interests me is the way Ogden has managed to maintain its size. It's had huge economic changes, for first losing the coal industry and the railroads leaving and changes in agriculture, all those things have killed other towns.
Well, Ogden has struggled with it, but they've managed to maintain. Their placement is good. They're a good-sized town, and they grew to that size early. And they're close enough that folks now can drive to Des Moines, to Fort Dodge, to Boone and Ames to work, but they can still stay in the small town atmosphere if they prefer that. And I think with the Lincoln Highway going through the center of town for many years, that kept it going very well because it brought people through and they would stop. And the farms are getting bigger and the farmers are getting fewer. And the children are getting fewer. And so that is the current struggle right now. But it's maintaining because people want it to, I think, is part of it, because they are supporting the businesses that are here.
And they are supporting the school.
Yes. We have a very good school system. And we are very proud of it and work hard to keep it.
Well, I noticed when I read a little bit about Ogden that your library came about because Leonard Good donated the money in the year of the bicentennial, 1976.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of overwhelmed that that would have happened. And I was also interested that the women's club decided that they needed a library, because that's a story in many, many towns.
That's how ours got started in the very beginning, was a bunch of ladies got together and they would store books at a church, at the Congregational Church, for loan out from there. And so that's how it actually got started. So the women in our country have done a good job.
But it always helps if you have a wealthy benefactor at the crucial time.
Always helps, yes. And his trust has helped a lot of things happen for the good. He was very much a supporter of Ogden.
Well, clearly he was.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to find out if there hadn't been some crisis in Ogden history, but Connie didn't seem to see any.
Are there any dramatic changes? For example, did World War II make a big difference in the downtown business district?
I don't think so. I don't think any of the major things, the wars, the downturn in the economy, pinched everybody a little, but I don't believe that there was any major changes. Actually, I think technology has almost been the biggest change, because we had Northern Natural Gas to the west, a couple of miles out of town, and in the beginning, in the 30s, when they put the pumping station in, they employed 150 people, and now technology has reduced that to about 20. And that's basically, it's been that and the vehicle and the interstate traffic and the fact that people can drive farther to get what they want without taking that much time that has done the most damage. I don't believe there was anything except the fact that their young men went off to war and some of them didn't come back was about the only thing that happened different in Ogden.
Another question that I have in relation to other small towns, I know that the South Story County towns lost their railroads, but they were able to use the railroads right-of-way to make bike trails. Mm-hmm. So they get business from the bike trails.
Yes.
And that's true for Perry, too.
Yes.
Boone and Webster City have the river. Now, do you have any of these kind of recreational amenities that naturally fall to Ogden?
Well, we have Don Williams Park to the north. And the Batten Chapel area, where the Hickory Grove School is out there. Ski Valley, I think it's called Seven Oaks.
Yes.
That is a recreational area.
And this, you identify that as part of the greater Ogden attractions.
Well, yeah. It's on Ogden's side of the river.
Before we shift the scene and I introduce our next guest, I would like to a comment that while we were in Ogden last Saturday, we went downtown, and they do have a thriving grocery store which had plants out to sell, and they had somebody on the street selling hot dogs and with all the condiments and the customers stopping by. It is a very impressively thriving downtown. But now we need to shift the scene. On an individual basis, people did face downturns, and they found creative ways to overcome them. One of these was Carl Nebbe. His son, Doug, is also a local historian. I was told at the Ogden Reporter that Doug Nebbe and Connie Rudy had both read all the issues of the local paper going back to 1874. But I think that Doug's interest in history comes more from his personal history. Doug's grandfather was a coal miner, and so he can give us some insight into that part of Ogden history. But the fun piece to begin with is Doug's father, Carl. Let's get in the mood by playing the theme music from Carl Nebbe's weekly program on WOI in the 30s.
Here's the familiar theme that welcomes to the air and to our midday music program, Conversation Rhythms by Carl Nebbe's Orchestra, featuring the vocals of Helen Barr. Upon Helen Barr to open our program with the current hit, I'm Too Romantic.
Listening to us and have been listening for the last few minutes, this is Local Talk. We're your hosts, Paul Wearson and Susan Franson, and we've been visiting with Connie Rudy about what she learned from the 20 years she's been researching Ogden history. And now, we're going to turn to another local historian whose father's music you just heard. It was a great piece of radio history, lovely music on the orchestra scene, and it was a regular program on WOI. And we're going to introduce Doug Nebbe. How are you, Doug?
I'm well.
Was your father from Ogden originally, Doug?
Yes, he was born in Ogden, grew up in Ogden, and died and is buried here. So.
So it's a complete circle of life for him right there in Ogden. Now, how did he happen to start a band?
Well, Dad was legally blind at a young age, and he actually went to Vinton School for the Blind for a while and left there before he graduated. But anyway, the Depression had come on, and there was nothing for young people to do, and he and some buddies around town formed a band. And somehow they got a connection with a booker out of Omaha, Melody May, and so their first foray with the band was out in Nebraska.
What was the band called?
Well, it changed over the years, but at one time it was called Carl Nebbe and his Castleomians. It was called the Carl Nebbe Band.
Fantastic. Now, where did he play more locally? We had a show here a while back on Lake Robbins, the wonderful ballroom. I assume that his band played there, probably.
Sure. Actually, Dad wasn't a great talker, so I don't have tons of stories, but he told me how when the band at Ogden, when they had just formed, they were down at Lake Robbins, and it was two buildings at that time, one building down by a pond, which they called Lake Robbins, and another building a little further away, and Dad, at least in the story to me, took credit for suggesting that they pull those two buildings together and make it a ballroom that had amenities such as drinks and something to eat, too.
That sounds like a good idea, and I saw the product firsthand. Lake Robbins, it's just a great place to look at and a piece of Iowa history, and I just felt like I was surrounded by ghosts of the Depression and even earlier times when these big bands toured and everybody danced, and it was a place to go to have fun and gather and not only have a community feeling, but also maybe a lot of marital relationships began right out there dancing on the floor with that wonderful old music. Now, did he play a lot of the other ballrooms in Iowa too, Doug?
Sure. Actually, they had a road band during most of the 30s, and so they traveled Iowa and surrounding states and at least touched into 11 states over the period of that time. And then when the band was disbanded because of World War II, after that, when I was growing up, he had what they called the hobby band, and he played Lake Robbins then, too, and the Hyperion in Des Moines, and, you know, lots of dance halls all over central Iowa.
Well, now, how did he promote that? Did he have an agent working on his behalf, or what sort of agency existed at that time to make sure you had plenty of playing dates?
Yeah, well, during most of the 30s, they used a professional agent, Melody May, out of Omaha, and then it shifted to, I can't remember his name, and I didn't research it, but he was based out of Huxley, and he booked three bands, and one of them was my dad's, and so they would run a weekly course somewhere, one band would, and then the next week, one of the other bands would run that same. And so that way the music was varied for the people at the dance halls, too. So there were three bands that rotated, and he had a few stories about that, especially in the 30s when it was snowy and whatever.
Well, I bet there were all kinds of stories about being on a bus or a vehicle trying to get through a storm to get to a ballroom to play a date. I mean, how many movies have been made about that?
Yeah, exactly.
So what a romantic time, and what a time to reminisce about not only the music, but also the social conditions then and what was going on. And with the lack of our modern-day media, I certainly know in my growing up years how television impacted what we do and how social we are with each other. And, of course, bands traveling and the big band sound and the Lake Robbins Ballroom and places like it, and I'm willing to wager there were many more than there are today, were really gathering places where people got together and had music and entertainment and fun, and boy, some of that's missing today. So your father belongs to an era when it was much more, at least to my view, much more of an interactive social place and a place where people met and had fun. And the music was good, too. And a full orchestra. It's hard to beat that. You know, we think of a band today as being keyboard, guitars, and percussion, maybe a bass, but that's not a band.
Right.
A band is a big band. So, now, did you ever play in the orchestra, Doug?
No. I was, as my father said, it's a hell of a way to make a living.
Did you play an instrument?
Yes. Yeah, I played a clarinet. My dad was a saxophonist, clarinetist.
Well, I struggled with the French horn for 7 years and never really made the Boston Pops. That was a very difficult instrument, but, you know, it was enough to know what playing in a band is like, how people share and how people depend on each other in a band, and how a remarkable sort of intimate experience it is for people to do that sort of thing. Not only that, but to travel together and all of that sort of thing. Now, Doug, what was your profession, your career?
I went to Iowa State and graduated as an engineer, and I did that for a few years. And then in the early 70s, my brother and I moved back to Ogden and tried to find a way to make a living. And so we had a home improvement business for a few years, and then I had the bright idea to start a bike shop. We had a warehouse we were using for the home improvement business, and I took that over and converted it into a bike shop, and it's 43 years later, and it's still a bike shop.
What a marvelous tale. So you were drawn back to your hometown, and you and your brother, you maintain a partnership then, or what?
Well, we did until I formed started the bike shop, and then we split the home improvement business up, and he took the major part of that and had it a few more years and then sold it, and so he moved away. He wound up being a financial advisor.
Sounds like a wealthy man, right?
Invest their money.
he's a wealthy man. Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I really value the fact that you maintain your loyalty and presence in your hometown. And that probably leads you to be someone who has some real interest in your history there. And tell us about... Now, you collaborated with people also and really making sure the history of Ogden is known. And I really appreciate that because I know people like that in Story City. They're what I would call the carriers of the torch, you know, people who are interested in making sure everybody knows where everyone came from and what the history of Ogden is. And I'm sure you're involved with that, Doug.
Sure. Actually, I'm on the Good Trust Board. Mr. Good, L.A. Good, was my uncle. He married my dad's sister. So there's a thread through. I'm not claiming any money. I'm on the poor side.
You know,
an itinerant musician was my father. But anyway, I still get to help today by sitting on the board and using the trust to the benefit of Western Boone County and Ogden particularly.
So for those who aren't acquainted in that area, the Good family, how did they accumulate their wealth? What sort of business were they in?
Well, Leonard's father was a farmer originally, and I don't know that they must have had means when they got here because he had a farm and he sat on the board of directors of one of the local banks in Ogden, and so Leonard, who liked to say he started out as a janitor at the bank, really started out as the son of one of the directors of the board. And anyway, so he did a good job and accumulated a lot of money, but he didn't have any children, and so at the end of his life, Ogden got lucky.
I would say definitely so. You know, what I really love are those stories where people have been conservative about their spending and accumulated wealth, and then instead of being miserly, they at the end of their lives or when they're planning for the estate organization really feature their community as the primary benefactor. And boy, what an echo effect through the future. How his good fortune to have a good fortune goes way beyond the pale in Ogden and benefits people yet unborn. That's terrific, and it's great to have that source of wealth.
I would like to just break in here. We have just a few minutes before we need to take our station break. And yesterday I had a very interesting conversation about coal mining with Doug because his other grandfather, or I should say, his grandfather on the other side was a coal miner down in Fraser, is that right?
Yes.
And you told me some things about the mining in Ogden that I found quite astonishing. Could you kind of recap that a little bit?
Okay. Well, Boone County mining started when the railroad came through in 1866, and it started in a major way shipping coal to other places at Mongona. And then as economics changed and whatever, the coal mining spread throughout the county, and in 1893 they sunk the first mine at Fraser, and that's what attracted my grandfather to come to Boone County. And they later had my mom. She was born in Fraser, and so I have a connection to that community. And in 1908, when the mine started to fail at Fraser, the three towns in Boone County that were all about the same size were Madrid, Ogden, and Fraser, with Boone being the major town and always has been in the county. And so I find that sort of interesting. And, of course, Fraser was strictly a coal mining town and is very little now today, just a collection of homes, not really a town.
Now, how late did the coal mining continue, Doug? When was the last shoveled?
Well, in Boone County, the last mine was the Ogden, North Ogden Number 5 mine. They called it Superior Coal Company, and it finished up in the spring of 1953. And the mine that was second to the last was called the Wilson Coal Company. It was right north of Fraser, and it was a slope, and it closed a couple months before that.
Well, you know, growing up in the 50s, I guess I wasn't aware that coal mining was still going on in the Boone area, and that's kind of interesting for me to know how late that continued, because I just wasn't aware of it. So you learn something every day. And we've been seeing, Susan and I have traveled a lot around the surrounding communities, and we saw the marvelous coal mine in Madrid at the historical site there. So that's where I got the first inkling of how important coal mining was to the area. And you've fleshed that out a little bit for us, so I appreciate your talking about that.
Well, thank you.
And you are one of those folks in your community that's making sure that everybody knows or has an opportunity to know where Ogden came from, where it's going, and you're part of an organization to preserve what Ogden is and conceiving what it'll be in the future. So I think that you are one of the more important people in Ogden, Doug. Don't be modest. Hey, it's really been delightful to talk to you today, Doug. Thank you for being with us, telling us about your father, the band director, Carl Nebbe, and a little of the coal mining history of Ogden and something of what's going on now. So, Doug, I appreciate that you have been with us. And now a station break. This is KHOI, Heart of Iowa Radio, 89.1 on your dial, Story City, Ames, and surrounding area.
And now we will be joined by Dan Fredericks, giving us a preview of Ogden Fund Days and the sesquicentennial celebration, following a brief story from Becky Blair about the important source of local stories about Ogden's past. We've mentioned the Ogden Reporter two or three times in connection with Connie Rudy's research. So I thought we should hear just a little bit from Becky Blair, reporter at the Ogden Reporter, about how the Ogden Reporter is going to help celebrate the sesquicentennial.
Well, one of the reasons I'm interested today is because of the sesquicentennial of Ogden, where there are special features on the history of Ogden. And would you like to tell me how you are covering that?
Well, we met in the fall last year, thinking ahead to the 150th year and how we would want to do it. We didn't want to set it up as simply 1 week or 1 day or whatever. So we decided to do a weekly feature. Started with kind of the very first one in January was just kind of the basic history of Ogden, and we've covered some churches, we've covered some businesses, we've covered some personal stories of what it's like to live in Ogden over the last several years.
How long have you lived in Ogden?
I was born and raised here. I left for 11 years and came back to raise family. So officially We've been back in Ogden since 1981.
To what do you ascribe Ogden's continued successful, modest growth?
We're a community of people that care about each other. And there's a lot of community pride and a lot of community camaraderie.
Thank you, Becky. We just heard from Becky Blair, reporter at the Ogden Reporter, who's been writing some of the historical pieces that appear in the paper each week. And I think finding other people who want to write some of the others is really a very interesting series. I picked up some Ogden Reporters yesterday when I was in town. And now it's time for a preview of the upcoming Ogden Fun Days. Neither of this year's co-chairs, Ben Hollingshead or Andrew Pierce, could be with us today, but we are fortunate to have Dan Fredericks with us. He is a longtime veteran of the Ogden Fun Days Planning Committee and has responsibility for the Bill Riley Talent Show this year, which is where he and Paul Wearson will start their conversation.
Great. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you.
And, of course, you have a very special part of the Fun Days, the Bill Riley Talent Show.
That is correct.
Okay, well, here my co-host Paul Wearson is also a big fan of the Bill Riley Talent Show, so I'll just let you guys get together and talk.
Oh, yeah, well, it's nice, nice to meet this guy because I do the Bill Riley Show in Scandinavian Days in Story City, and Bill Riley Jr. loves to come to our venue because it's an indoor venue in the high school auditorium. You're not subject to the wiles of nature. And a couple of years ago, I'm a judge there now. For years I hosted and emceed that. But 2 years ago there was a downpour, and I was going in and expecting to judge that. I was wet. And when I got in there, they said, Bill Riley's not going to come. Can you emcee? So I got up there looking like a wet chicken, you know, to emcee the Bill Riley Talent Show. And you've been there, done that, right, Dan?
That is correct. I've been doing it for almost 20 years.
And you're the host and emcee?
The thing is, what I basically coordinate the show, and then I have people that emcee it for me. We've usually called on local radio stations for their staff to help us out with that.
Oh, that's great. In fact, you're doing something that really is more difficult than my job up there. I think maybe it's a question of, you know, all the work you have to do organizing and scheduling the event, because I know from our experience that young people come from all over the state to compete at our festival, and I'm sure they do at yours too, because everyone tries to eventually place in the top three or two to go to the state fair. Do you have that experience too, that you have young people from everywhere?
Yes, we do, and what's really nice is that you don't really know what your show is going to be until that night. We do put it out a month ahead of time on the Iowa State Fair website so that they can get in touch with us either through email or phone call. We put it together. We usually have a solid show of 12 to 15, both in the Sprout division and in the senior division, and so we always have a good show during Ogden Fun Days.
Just a minute. Because of the difficulty of getting hold of Ben Hollingshead, we haven't had an introduction to Ogden Fun Days. Now, obviously, if you've been with us for 20 years, you have been on a lot of those committees. So could you tell a little bit about how it got started and what the significance of it is for Ogden?
Well, Ogden Fun Days started over 70 years ago, and when the businessmen got together during the Depression, said, hey, let's have some fun. And so what they did was that very simply then it became Ogden Fun Days. And Ogden Fun Days has been held over the years during the week, during the middle of the week, and now it's finally settled on the weekends. Just because of that, many of us are working or whatever, and we still want them to celebrate our 3-day celebration. And so we've moved it down to the weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday format, and have all of those things jam-packed with a lot of activities for the young and old and in between. And there's a very vibrant committee that puts that together to make sure that all those venues are filled so we can have a good town celebration. But it's been going on for a while. I've been on it for over 20 years, and I've really enjoyed meeting different people that have came into our town to celebrate and the celebration itself.
Well, I think the theme this year is We Built This City. So are the parade floats and features like that sort of aimed toward coordinating with that theme, Doug?
Yes, it is. We always sit down and think, you know, what will rally the community and whatever like that. It's our birthday this year. Ogden's been around for 150 years, and so a lot of people have built this city, and it's a very progressive town. Our main street is vibrant. We have great committees that make sure that our storefronts are full, and we're going to celebrate that this year because we've been around 150 years.
Yes, at Story City, we had our sesquicentennial a few years back, and that's a difficult word to say, but it's very meaningful. Sesquicentennial, that's 150 years.
Yeah, now, I just say 150 years.
Yeah, let's stay away from that word. As
yeah,
tongue,
right.
As a tongue twister.
I look at it and I say, yeah.
No, okay. No, this is far too complicated. We don't want to do that. Now, the parade, you have a big parade. That's going about 10 o'clock on Saturday. Is that right?
Yeah, well, the kiddie parade gets kicked off at 9:45.
I'll be there for that one. Okay.
And so on, and we that always draws well. The kids get excited. I can't wait to see what they're going to look like this year. We start that at registration's at 9:45, and then that then goes till 10. We take a little breather because the big parade is getting formulated in the background, and there's a great committee that helps me make that a success. It's really taken off the last 4 or 5 years. I got to kind of pinch myself that it goes for over an hour and 15 minutes, and so on. And we have really good balance on entrants that do want to be part of that parade.
And they have to register for that prior to the parade?
Yes, they do. And we have a website. And okay. The nice thing about it is we want to make it as convenient as possible. We now have our website that is email capacity. Has the capacity of, if you would, let's say, put your business in there, they fill it out, they hit submit, and it automatically comes to my computer, and then they're pre-registered for the parade.
And what is that? What is that website, Dan? Do you want to share that?
That's OgdenFunDays.com, and so on, or just go Ogden Fun Days on your computer, and it will pop up there. You go to the left side, and it will have all the links that take a form, either email or hard copy. We do have the old traditional way. If somebody wants to fill it out, put a 47-cent stamp on it, and send to me, they can also do that as well, too. And we make it as convenient as possible, and then our committee calls the businesses in Central Iowa and say, hey, you know, that's... let's be in the parade. And the thing is that everybody loves a parade, and lately our parade has been one of the bigger ones in Boone County.
Well, yes, and you know, I can guarantee you're going to have a lot of folks that are running for election this year. You're going to have a lot of politicians walking up and down the street too.
Yeah, the thing is that the Republicans and the Democrats and in between, they will all be there. They've already contacted me. And so we will have a place for them, in the parade. And we're looking for a large contingent of both parties to be in our parade, and we look forward to having them there.
And there will be candy flying everywhere. I'm kind of guilty. I've been guilty several times. I've pushed out some 8-year-olds to get a Tootsie Roll. Something comes over me in a parade route. I just don't understand it, but I do enjoy parades, and I think everyone loves a parade. And you have prize winners in that parade. You have different themes where they can win prizes, right?
Yeah, right. We have three categories. We have theme, business, and religion. There is prize as well as trophies for each one of those. And the nice thing is I hand deliver those. I kind of say that's kind of the fun part of all the work that you put into it, that you go to those particular entities and, hey, thank you very much. The judges thought that, you know, you really did an outstanding job. And, you know, here's a trophy and a little bit of money as a thank you.
Well, that's nice. It's always it's nice to be a deliverer of good news. Now, this is a particularly celebrant time for Ogden, being the sesquicentennial. So are there some new events this year that really highlight that?
Well, the thing is that we really try to put a balance there, you know what I mean, from the carnival to, you know, in-the-park activities and so on. And so we really, really try to, you know, meet that balance. One thing that's always new, but is we bring something back that you and I grew up on. And I just, when it was brought up to the committee, it was a fantastic idea. What we have is we have a drive-in movie.
A drive-in movie? How are you going to do that?
And so the committee found out that they found where we rent a drive-in theater screen.
You can rent one of those in this day and age?
Yes,
that's marvelous. I learned something. That's why I like local talk. You learn something. I don't even know where you found that on the internet, Dan.
Ooh. Yeah, well, you know, Ben Hollingshead and Brett Pierce, they put that together. And the thing is that what we do is we wrap it around the theme, you know, every year and so on. And what we do is we have it out in the parking lot of the high school, and people come in there, you know, and, you know, we have the concession stand open, just like it was when you and I were growing up, and, you know, popcorn and pop and whatever like that. Costs $5 to a car, you know, get in. $10, I think, maybe. But anyway, $5, $10.
I'll be in someone's trunk. I'll be
Just, you know.
And, but is there a gadget you hang on your window like the
Well, they just come in and, you know, hey, let's have a good time with the kids and mom and dad and whatever like that. And it's unbelievable the stories that you hear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people will say, hey, I remember when I was growing up and, you know, mom and dad took us to Boone to the drive-in, and, you know, and it just brings back all these memories.
Oh, it sure does.
And so on. Another highlight is just, you know, the excitement around the parade. Like what you said, everybody likes a parade. And I've been doing that for quite a few years, and every experience, you know, that I've had, we usually get up, it's a situation where the committee is together for close to 48 hours, and we get no sleep because we're putting this, you know, big parade together. And what we say is it's controlled chaos from about 8 o'clock in the morning till about noon, and everybody's having a great time, you know, from the Ogden Lions on their golf carts, you know, putting people in their places where they need to be, you know, if they're number 32, you know, after registration, you know, there's the golf cart, come with us, and there you are. And pretty soon, you know, the parade takes off, and everybody's having a great time.
Now, Dan, we forgot, you can billboard the movie you're going to show at the drive-in. What's it going to be?
I think this year it's going to be Toy Story.
Toy Story.
Like that.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Well, you know, the drive-in theaters, I remember, there was always some low-budget horror movie, you know, with the aliens coming. And then there was Beach Blanket Bingo with Annette Funicello and these people.
Yep.
And then usually cartoons. And they always had a nice play area right below the screen, swing sets for the kids, you know.
Exactly.
And then, you know, My brother was, you know, early in his marriage, he had several children, and you really have to watch what you do, you know, with a concession stand. And, oh, they brought all kinds of food. They'd back up their station wagon so the kids could gaze out the rear and see the movie on the screen. And that was great. You know, you had the option to bring all the popcorn from home and, oh, drive-in theaters. I think there's still one or two in the state. One's down by Baxter, I think.
The one is in Newton, as I recall, and then the other one's in Davenport. But to back up on it a little bit, what's really great is, remember you always had, you know, the people that were helping put the movie on. You know what I mean? You always had the credits for, well, we even do that at a certain investment level when we go out. If you give that amount, you're going to have a commercial on before the movie starts, and we have a tech person that puts that together. That's Andrew Pierce. He does a fantastic job. And the fact is that then people, you know, see some commercials, you know, for businesses, you know, and that was part of when you went to the drive-in.
It sure was. I'm glad you know. That's a great touch, and everyone likes it because, once again, their name is on the screen, you know, and their business is promoted. So that's a great idea, Dan.
Right. and so the nice thing is that we have this premise on the committee throughout the years that I've been on it. There's never a bad idea. You know, if you want to do something for Ogden Fun Days, chair it, do it, have some fun doing it. You know, and so when you open the door like that, you know what I mean, there's a lot of excitement that of people being investing into your community. And so there's never, ever a bad idea, you know what I mean? If you bring it to the table, you want to do it, hey, we'll help you and make it as successful as it possibly can be.
So to recap, Thursday is the drive-in movie, right, Dan?
Yep.
And then Friday, you have a car show. Is that going to be all the old classics, like the 57 Chevys I love?
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the biggest car shows in Central Iowa. Dave and Donna Olson are great chairs of that, and they're working on it as we speak of, you know, getting all the things in line for that. And that every year they come go to the city council and bring it to the committee. We need another block.
Is that great?
And so, you know, it's starting to go down on the side streets now a little bit, too. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, you know.
And then they even line some of them in the middle of the street. And so Ogden Fun Days Main Street becomes a car show with many different varieties. And people come from all over. And like I said, Dave and Donna do great job, you know what I mean, of running that show.
Oh, you know, that's really something I enjoy. Anyone in my age group who grew up in the 50s and remembers when cars were made out of metal, you know, and we had all the chrome and the, well, you're going to see some fuzzy dice hanging from a rearview mirror. I predict that in that car show. That's a staple. But whenever I see a 57 Chevy with the fins, you know, or an old DeSoto, or I'm going to start weeping here pretty soon. Let's not talk about the car show. Reminds me of how old I am. Now, you're going to have several bands in the parade, too, and do you have some other bands performing as stage shows, or what's going on?
Well, we will have the award-winning Ogden High School marching band.
They are good. They are good.
Well, yeah. And, you know, they are highly respected. Jerry Kinney, who has been a name throughout Central Iowa and whatever like that. You know, he put his kind of footprint on that, and that tradition has continued, you know, for many, many years and so on. The junior high, when they go out and compete to Carol Band Days or Puffer Billy Days or whatever, we're very, very thankful that we have a very strong music department, and, you know, Central Iowa gets to see that, and then their award by all their hard work. You know, that takes a lot of people to have that happen. That takes, you know, parents invested, kids invested, the instructors that are teaching them, you know, to be winners. And, you know, that's a lifelong thing that then you have with you that, you know, you were associated with a winner and you had to work hard to get it.
Oh, yes, I've been very impressed with the Ogden Marching Band. Usually, visiting as a fan of Roland Story, I've gone and seen the football game, and at halftime, very impressive, the Ogden Marching Band. Now, were there some small rock bands playing, too, in some smaller venues where...
The thing is that we're just getting those firmed up and whatever like that. We will know those. You know, we have our wrap-up meeting in June 13th, you know, 2 weeks, you know, saying, hey, it's about time to push the button, you know, what's all on tap, And like I said, we've been working. We usually take a little time off, you know, after the celebration. Then we're right back in it, you know, to, you know, make it the best after we take a little time off, a month or two, and then we get right back at it, and we start getting to see, you know, what our next celebration is going to be all about. But, you know, it does take great people to invest their time I've always been impressed with the volunteerism of Ogden, you know what I mean, to, you know, build this city, you know what I mean? It takes a lot of people to make that happen. And, oh, my gosh, you know, we're really impressed with the Millenniums as how they're coming on now and want to be part of our committee. So when we pass it on, we know that it'll be in good hands, and I'm very confident that that will happen.
So there will always be fun days at Ogden. Now, recapping, is it a three-day festival, Doug? It begins on Thursday night is the drive-in movie, right?
Right.
Is that the main event that kicks off the show?
The thing is that, yes, and the nice thing about it is that we have things that, you know, we try and put it all in the city park, you know what I mean? And so we've worked very, very hard to have as much as we can down there. The Bill Riley Talent Search is at the high school auditorium, that is, you know, unbelievably facility to use for the kids that are going to be performing, you know, from the mics to the piano to the tech people, you know, and everything. That holds about 250 to 300.
Now, the Bill Riley show is Friday night at 6 p.m., right?
That is correct, and so on. And, you know, been getting people to sign up already, and I'm really excited that we'll have a great show again this year. I did want to segue a little bit on, I've had Bill Riley Jr., as well, you know, to come and visit us. But many, many years ago, when I was in a little town, called Melcher, Iowa, Bill Riley Sr. planted the seed in my mind of what Bill Riley was all about, the show. And it stuck with me. And, the thing was, over the years, I had this yearning to, how do I have it, you know, what goes about of putting this show together? Well, the only thing I had to do is make a phone call and fill out some paperwork. And 20 years later, it's been an unbelievable run of the talent that I have seen go through Ogden Fun Days via the Bill Riley Talent Show. You know, it's the ultimate of when they are awarded first place at your local celebration, and then how are they going to, you know, bookend themselves with the talent that particular day they're going to be competing against.
Dan, thank you so much. You've been so informative today. And just remember, you know, we've talked about so many things, and it's really a long festival. You're starting with that drive-in movie on Thursday, going through the weekend. And for all, those of you who out there have concerns about this or want to be involved, here's a phone number you can call, 515-275-2166. Or, Dan, give us the website again.
At your computer, put Ogden Fun Days, you know, and you will get the website. It will share with you a wealth of information and whatever of how you want to participate or just come and enjoy the activities. We're expecting another great Ogden Fun Days, June 23rd, 24th, 25th. In Ogden, Iowa.
And you're a great emissary of Ogden. Thank you very much for being on the show. Remember Ogden Fun Days. And what do you think about that, Susan?
Well, thanks to Dan Fredericks for doing the whole promotion, and it was a great one. Thanks a lot. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Susan Franzen and Paul Wearson. And we started out the show with Ogden historians Connie Rudy and Doug Nebbe. And we also heard from Becky Blair, reporter of the Ogden Reporter.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 today, 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. Now, there you will find information about our guests along with relevant links to today's stories. And you can also like us on Facebook and get updates on all of our show postings in your news feed.
Local Talk was engineered by Greta Anderson. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was I'm Too Romantic by the Carl Nebbe Band.
Now, Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show, so if you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That number again, 515-292-2878. Also, contact us through our website, khoyfm.org.
If you enjoy the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on the radio.